Good morning.
Good morning.
Our psalm that are set aside for today is Psalm 1, and we'll be saying the bits of that together later in the service. But in that psalm it says, "But whose delight is the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night?" We've been studying the commandments during these past few Sundays. And as we continue to study, we've been taught of the positive benefits of our adherence to them. Help us all this morning to encourage and support one another on this journey of life. We have a brilliant thing written in the Psalms for us each day, and it helps us to worship God and to know what he has sent each one of us.
Today's reading is Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 21, and it's entitled Murder. "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, 'Raca,' is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny." This is the word of the Lord.
So commandment number 6, thou shalt not kill. Now, different versions of the Bible have different words for this. Not the thou shalt or do not bit, but some will say, do not kill. And others will say, do not murder. And there's probably a world of a difference maybe between those two things. We immediately think they're exactly the same, but in many ways, in our heads, there can be a world of difference, because if something is killed, it can be almost by accident, an instantaneous thing. But to murder is almost premeditated, isn't it? That word creates something in our heads, in our understanding, that this is a premeditated act. This is something that has been thought through, the pros and the cons, and then a decision made to go with it. And sometimes that can add a difference into the conversation that we have around this particular commandment. Is this commandment saying that it's about the spur of the moment thing, or it's simply about the premeditated thing? But the key in the midst of all of this is the value and the sanctity of human life. It's key in this discussion. Generations before, and I'm not saying that nobody in this generation doesn't believe this anymore, but certainly in generations before, the sanctity of life was held very strongly. Yes, we know that there's always been killing and murdering, there's always been stealing, and there's all of these things happening. That's why God gave the commandments in the first place. But in generations before, it was a common understanding or a common way of thinking that humans were created in the image of God and made just a little lower than the angels themselves. And that our purpose was to worship and to glorify God himself. And that if we were created in God's image, then there was something special about us. But as our world has become more enlightened, as our culture has become more atheistic, as our culture has moved farther and farther away from that understanding of being created by a creator, our culture begins to simply understand that we are just the last part of the evolution process. And that doesn't sanctify life just as much. And so for those of us who hold to an understanding, to a faith-based understanding of that we are created in the image of God, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, as the scriptures tell us, that we were knitted together in our mother's wombs before even one day of them came to be, that he has ordained it for each one of us. That's a different understanding of the sanctity of your life and my life than simply to believe that we are part of an evolutionary process that is simply evolving every day, and that this is the culmination of it. And so the sanctity of human life is often wrapped up in our belief system. Excuse me, I need to get water. If anybody wants a cough, I could give it to them, and they could take it away from me. It's one of those really annoying, dry, tickly ones that as you change temperature, it annoys you. It's just, so I'm starting to heat up here. So for those of us who hold to that biblical understanding, that faith-based understanding of life and the sanctity of life, this commandment means so much in many ways. So you bring all of that into the conversation about is this thou shalt not kill or is this thou shalt not murder. It doesn't really matter whether it's premeditated or not, because the sanctity of life is the sanctity of life. Now, lots of other factors could come into this conversation today. And in life groups, we may touch on some of these during the week. That's an opportunity, maybe, if you think that you would like to be a part of a life group, simply a place and a space where people gather together to discuss, to think about, to share what it is that they think around some of these things. Never right or wrong answers in that sense, but it's a sense of growing together. Chat to me after over coffee, or chat to someone else who you know who goes, and they'll tell you how much they enjoy it, hopefully. But lots of other factors can come into this today. Factors around abortion or euthanasia or warfare. But yet there's some more subtle ones that need to come into the conversation around this as well. Because we know that certain economic policies amongst some countries can lead to mass killings. We know that sanctions that are placed from one country to the next can also lead into a place of deprivation, a place of poverty, a place of famine. And we know, we can see that the greed of countries can impoverish other nations around them. And so it's much wider, it's much more than simply I have premeditated in my thoughts to murder somebody else, I think. This is about living in harmony. This is about sanctifying human life. And the passage for today is Matthew chapter 5, as Lynn read to us in verse 21. It says, you have heard, these are Jesus' words, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. It might have been comfortable enough talking about killing and murdering, and maybe many of us would go, well, I've never broken that commandment. But Jesus enters the anger into the conversation. Because we know that whenever we allow our anger to well up within us, to bubble up, we know that it changes our personality. It changes our thought process. It changes how we think about things and how we process things and how we react to things. When the red mist descends, everything else changes. And that can happen in so many different ways, can't it? It can happen around our relationships in our families. It can happen in our relationships with one another. It can happen in our workplaces. Don't think it would ever happen behind the wheel of a car. Anybody would ever get angry at that point. Except with all other numpties on the road, like you know. But anger is that thing that changes us, isn't it? And it can begin to define us. We probably know, or probably can think of, maybe some individuals that we do know who anger has become almost the stereotype of who they are. They appear to be angry about everything, all of the time. And Jesus says, but I tell you, anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. And again, anyone who says to his brother, Raka, which is a real image of contentment, contempt, that's what I'm looking for. Contempt, wouldn't be contentment, that's the wrong way. So contempt, so it's that, it's the outright kind of lashing out towards someone and just dismissing them completely. And maybe you're thinking, how can murder and anger be equated on the same scale? It's not the preacher's scale. They're the words of Jesus. And I think it's partly because what I've just said, that anger changes our persona and who we are and how we react and what it is that we do. And it can drive us forward to do things that we would never do in a normal state of mind. We can say things and do things in anger that we will regret for the rest of our life. Jesus is warning us to temper it and to keep it under control. There are strong words from Jesus. Verse 23 says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Make sure that you're living in harmony with other people, living peaceably with other people. Whether that is my fault, your fault, or fault, sometimes it takes us to step in to the moment as believers and as Christians and to say, I think you may be cross or angry with me for whatever reason, I am sorry. This image of coming to the altar, it's that, remember, this is a Jesus speaking to almost a Jewish audience here. He is saying that whenever they bring their offering to God to receive forgiveness from their sin, if in that moment they remember that they are not at one with other people, they are first to do that and then come to God and say, God, I am ready. For some of you, these words, you will begin to recite them. As I recite them, it would have been a cry. It would have been a liturgical cry that we would have heard many years ago from a Book of Common Prayer, one service. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins, and do in love and charity with your neighbour, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort and make your humble confession to Almighty God, meekly kneeling upon your knees. That's the liturgical response to those verses that we just read from Matthew. It's a call that goes out to believers to say, how are you with each other? Are you living in harmony? But But it's also key to note that this isn't just for those that we know and love. Jesus' words goes on in verse 25. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Jesus is saying, all relationships are not going to go perfect all the time. There's going to be complete and utter breakdowns. And sometimes people are going to be taking you to court. It's got so bad that it couldn't be fixed between you. And so the law of the land is going to have to step in. That's what he's alluding to. And he's saying, if you know that, then there's a moment before you get to that point to step in and try to resolve it. Jesus' words, it's incumbent upon us to try to do that. So do not kill. Thou shalt not murder. Live in harmony and peaceable with one another. Don't let your anger get the better of you. Temper it. Look after it. Keep it safe and secure, locked away. And if you know anything that is divisive between you and another, then today Jesus' words ring true that we must try to repair it. We hold to the sanctity of life, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. If you hear nothing else today, hear those words, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Knit together in your mother's womb, before a day came to be, all of them were ordained before you. Hold to the truth. And see how all of these commandments begin to knit together, begin to play their part. How we have honest decisions. How we live in contentment. How our relationships remain pure and true. How we live honest lives and how we temper our anger. Boundaries to live in that set us free. And allow us to enjoy the life that we live. Let's pray together. Father God, give us grace today. And in this moment, as we pause for just a moment, help us to Lord, if your spirit needs to call to mind a particular situation or relationship that we need to speak into, repair, be a part of, we pray that your spirit would do that in this moment. Lord, give us grace and wisdom to temper those moments of anger. That our words and our actions would be true and honest and would glorify you. Help us to grow together. To love together. And to be an example of your grace, your love, your compassion, your mercy, and your forgiveness to your hurt and lost world around us. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we close today, we hear those words from Ephesians, which tells us that to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask, seek, would even dare to imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.